Good morning and welcome to the programme. This year is the 60th anniversary of the opening of Telefi Sharon.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, both here in the Gresham and back behind that camera, these are the last moments of the first day of Telefi Sharon. And if some of you have enjoyed some of it, then we're extremely happy.
Television joined radio, Aaron, and was first broadcast on New Year's Eve, 1961.
I am privileged in being the first to address you on our new service, Television.
This time, 60 years ago, it was the fledgling new Irish-based TV channel. And in 1966, Telefi Sharon and Radio Éireann were put under the name RTE. This morning on Countrywide, we look back at six decades of TV programming with a farming angle. We track the various factual programmes down the decades.
Well, the beef cattle trade has eased off a bit this week, as you might expect a bit coming up so close to Christmas, but the main reason, I suppose.
And we remember the rural-based dramas, which were a must-watch on Sunday nights across the land for the best part of 40 years.
Would it be in order to ask if the rent is stirring?
No, it would not be in order to ask if the rent is stirring. Because not only is there nothing stirring, but there's going to be nothing stirring.
In 1965, and still in its fledgling years, Telefi Sharon launched a groundbreaking rural TV drama, The Reardons.
Will you look at that fella, Benji!
Yes, ma'am.
What are you mucking yourself up for? I just thought you were supposed to be going into Kilkenny.
Yes, so I am.
Well, will you come here and get yourself cleaned up, for heaven's sake?
Set in the fictional townland of Leestown, County Kilkenny, the central characters were Tom and Mary Reardon and their son Benji, who lived on a farm.
You must have the flour nearly all done by this time.
Aye, all but the one field, the relic.
Are you flouring the relic?
Aye, and I want to get it over with and then get down to the festivities.
We're in the old studio. It was our hay barn once upon a time.
The filming was done on location in Dunboyne, County Meath. Filming away from the studio broke the mould.
Our home was on the old entry from Dublin to Cavan.
An ad was placed in the Meath Chronicle looking for a farmstead to use for filming. Mick Connolly's father answered the ad, and their family home, known as the Flat House near Dunboyne, just off the entry outside of Dublin, was chosen.
And we were on a crossroads. And a crossroads in the country was an exciting place. And the people in the area, we were all of country origin and country ways and that type of life, you know.
Mick and his wife Lou still live in the house, and its distinctive structure looks the very same as it did on TV all those years ago.
It was on the main Avon Road, and there was a lot of people to-ing and fro-ing and looking.
And would you have to move out for a day or two?
When it came first, they were using the inside of the house, the kitchen and where we are now, sitting, talking, and a couple of the rooms, but they decided after a while that they would go outside, so they decided to make a studio.
I must inform you that the programme controller, RTE1, Maurice McGonigal, has decided that the Reardons will end after the present series of productions terminates May 27th.
There was controversy in 1979 when the Reardons, a ratings winner, was unceremoniously axed.
Biddy?
Yes, well, we've been told by Louis Lenton that he thinks that there isn't quite the need today that there used to be for a drama about rural life.
Much to the shock of everybody. I mean, I could see the pictures when they were told, and the shock on Maura Deedy's face was incredible, you know, because they weren't expecting it.
Ah! But you gave me a fright.
I gave you a fright!
In the final season of The Reardons, a young actor called Gabriel Byrne appeared, playing the role of Pat Barry.
You didn't say your first name?
Pat, ma'am. Pat Barry.
On the death of Pat Barry's father, the character moved back to Slieve Bracken, and we followed the story for two seasons of drama, written by Wesley Burroughs, called Bracken.
Well, Pat.
Dinny, how are you?
Sorry for your trouble.
I know you are, Dinny.
The father and son farmers of Dinny and Miley Byrne were neighbours of Pat Barry in Bracken.
Bringing lambs in every night for a fortnight, frozen to the lamps.
Never mind that.
And staying up a month before without watching for dogs.
Their decision to sell their farm and move to a mythical North Wicklow village called Glenrow launched another hit Sunday night series, which lasted 18 years.
In the name of God, Miley, son, what do you think you're doing at all?
Finish the spuds I did, every single one of them lifted.
You couldn't you get married in about 3 hours?
Sure I know, sure, there's plenty of time, but to hear what I'm saying to you, finish the spuds.
Do you know what, if I hadn't finished the spuds, they'd have cast a shadow on the whole wedding. I'd be worrying about them all through the honeymoon. It would have been a very bad start.
All right, Miley.
And the theme tune, Cúchaoin Glan Nathan, was arranged by Jim Lockhart of Horselips fame. Today, the Glenrow Farm is a visitor attraction in Kilcool, County Wicklow, owned by the Toner family, who have farmed this place for generations. The tiny cottage where Dinny lived is instantly recognisable to fans of the series, including our own Suzanne Campbell, who dropped by to share memories with the farm owner, John Toner.
Oh, wow, so you've great photos here. There's Dinny with the greyhounds.
Yeah, that was.
I remember the greyhounds now.
Yeah. They were a great source of amusement for the people at the time.
We're standing inside this house with the tin roof that was his house.
We reckon it's around 350, 400 years old.
The topics that were discussed on the Reardons, literally, because it was so accurate and it was so close to you know, the reality of farming life at the time, that I do remember hearing my father say things to neighbours like, I see Benji is cutting the hay, or the Reardons haven't the spuds sown yet. Or,
so it was reality TV before we had reality TV.
It was absolutely reality TV. And just, you know, as an aside, it was one of the first, I think it was probably the first soap in the world to use outside broadcasts. And it set the scene for Coronation Street to do so. Mm. It was the inspiration for Emmerdale Farm, which has become Emmerdale, because so the sounds, you know, the noise of the farm, the whole atmosphere of the farm, the lighting, everything prior to that would have been set based. This was on an actual farm. It wasn't in Kilkenny, which we found hard to believe, although we knew there was no place called Leestown in Kilkenny. But apart from that, everything else was spot on accurate.
Yeah.
And the whole, I mean, when I say it, I mean the whole family, including me and my pram, were rounded up to watch it on Sunday night. And if you made a sound and you didn't visit anyone on Sunday night, or if you did, you know what?
PJ, you were presenting farm news here on Radio 1 back in the late 80s and early 90s. So, you were then called one day to get involved in helping the scriptwriters. Tell us about how you became an advisor to the scriptwriters on Glenrow.
Yeah, what happened was I was sitting in the canteen one day and Wesley came over to me, Wesley Burroughs, who was the man behind Glenrow, and said, will you help us out on a few things? We need a few story ideas. So what I would do is before every series, we would sit down for three or four meetings. I'd get 20 storylines, and all these scriptwriters would think, you know, six or eight episodes ahead, and they'd want you to have some type of agricultural context to what they were doing and how it could work into various storylines. So it was actually very intricate, very cleverly done. And again, you know, they always wanted problems. They always wanted trouble. Like they'd have sheep breaking into turnips that were only half grown and all kinds of stuff like this that happens regular farmers, or there'd be a terrible wet week, or, you know, and you'd go out to Toner's farm out in Kilcool every so often. And then, like, as agriculture, as you know, progressed a bit, we actually started using, sometimes we used John Leeson's farm down in Stepaside, because John and his son Andrew had a big farm, big dairy farm, big for even for the time. They had 300 cows at the time, and that's a long time ago. That's in the mid-80s. And we'd go down there and film some heavy-duty agricultural scenes. You know, I used to be fascinated by how much these script writers knew about everything. I knew a little bit about farming, and that was about it.
Since 1962, there have been numerous TV programmes devoted to farming. In the early days, these programmes were about farming for farmers, educational and informative, at a time when farming was far and away the largest industry of any type in the country.
When RTE was established in 1961, farmers accounted for 25% of the workforce.
Michael Miley is a former RTE radio broadcaster who worked on farming programmes in the 1970s.
Now, we have to remember that our population in 1961 was at its lowest level for over 100 years at 2.9 million people only. Agriculture was and farmers were really a key audience for the news station. And of course, the focus, certainly for the first 20 years, was on education and information for farmers.
This area around Arva is tough, uncompromising farming country. The winters are long and wet. Even in summer, land poaches easily.
The first farming programme was on the land, presented by a man called Paddy Jennings, who was an agricultural advisor in North County Dublin.
At about 5.30, Joe McDermott arrives at the market. There he has to take his place in a queue of vehicles, waiting for the gates to open at 6 o'clock. A high place in the queue means a quicker sale and an early return home to other work on the farm.
Other contributors also came into play at that point. People like Larry Sheedy, the deputy editor of the Farmer's Journal, Noel O'Reilly, who many Cavan people remember as a rather famous footballer from Cavan.
We are here in Killarney for the National Ploughing Championships, the biggest ploughing event of the year.
But of course then in 1965, Justin Keating arrived on the scene. Justin was a vet, a farmer, and also a lecturer in both UCD and in Trinity College. And he established this programme called Teddyfish Farming.
First thing we want to say is maybe an obvious one, but it's an important one. If you come into your viewing group late and walk across the knees of a few other people who are there already, you don't just miss a bit of the programme yourself, but you disturb other people.
And one of the unique features of Teddyfish Farming was that it was watched by groups of young farmers who are participating in what were called at the time winter farm schools. In many cases, they hired out televisions to watch the programme, and these televisions, the hire of the televisions, was sponsored and covered by the Department of Agriculture. After Justin left, Joe Murray took over as head of agricultural programmes. He presided over a number of very, very successful programmes. The one that I can remember as a young person was a series of 14 programmes called Into Europe, which featured farms and farming from the then six member states of the EEC, giving Irish farmers an idea of the kind of farming systems that they were going to meet and compete with.
But there's a good deal more to bringing food from the farm to the table. In a Europe that's growing rich, what's happening to poor places far from the market?
In 1972, I think, Landmark came on the air. That still was very much for farmers.
Hello again and welcome to Landmark. Later in this programme, Gerry O'Callaghan will look at a partnership between a farming couple and their two sons.
Michael Dillon was an agricultural graduate. He spent all his time in agricultural journalism.
Good evening. Well, the beef cattle trade has eased off a bit this week, as you might expect a bit coming up so close to Christmas. But the main reason, I suppose, for the bullock trade getting quieter is that the APS scheme finishes tomorrow. And most of the...
He worked in RTE right through the 50s, 60s, 70s and into the 80s. What a lot of non-farmers will know Michael Dillon best for is his mart and market, the weekly rundown of prices for cattle in livestock.
Now, over the 60 years of Irish television, agricultural programmes have been a permanent fixture on RTE to its present incarnation, Ear to the Ground. Well, joining me now to remember the impact of those unique programmes, I'm joined by farming journalist Mairead Lavery and by historian Carla King. Good morning to you both, and it's great to have you on this programme. Mairead, I'm going to begin with yourself because you grew up in County Wicklow on a farm. Your family, they had a television at the time, because we are talking about the early 1960s, so it was a great luxury to have a TV in the parlour. But was it unusual in those days that you did have a television, and how common was it to have a TV on a rural farm?
Well, my mum and dad were great fans of going to the movies, going to the pictures before they got married and even before I was born. And when the first children arrived, they couldn't get over the fact that they could never get out. So they bought a television. And, you know, the neighbours would come in and look at the television as well, at certain programmes, the news, or if there was something major happening, or a football match or something like that. Television wasn't common, but then again, you have to remember the time you were in. You know, we were still, rural electrification was still happening. Up to 1968, the vast majority of young people left school at 14. Only if you could afford to pay for your education could you stay on and be educated. And we were also at a time, a great time of change, because Ireland was negotiating to become part of the EEC. So, you know, with all of this happening, this modernisation, you know, television and farming were a natural fit, because farmers were hungry for knowledge. They were hungry to meet the challenge. They wanted to meet the challenge of joining the EEC, and television provided that for them with the experts that were on it every week. And, you know, you had Mockra and Aferma branches all around the country where they would meet in someone's home and they would watch the programme, whatever farming programme it was. And this was going on right up into the 70s and 80s. They'd watch the programme and then they would have a discussion about the content and how they could apply it on their own farm.
Kinraw music, isn't it?
Straight in there. You're straight in. What is it?
It's Kinraw. Am I right?
That is. That's right.
Thank you.
We get a prize.
Fucking not Talca Road, Glenroe, yeah, end it, yeah.
It reminds me of every Sunday night when I was going to school. It's the theme song for Glenroe.
It's Glenroe.
You couldn't miss Glenroe. It's like missing Mass if you missed seeing Glenroe like that.
Just loved Glenroe. Yeah, it wouldn't be Sunday if it wasn't for Glenroe. Every Sunday night, it was a big thing, myself and my brother. Not our parents, they didn't watch it at all. We would just have our bath and then watch Glenroe. And then you knew it when you had to go to bed and school the next day.
The children now, you'd be trying to grasp at the last minute, or, oh, just another minute, ma'am, or another 5 minutes. But no, that was it. When that came on Sunday night, that was the end of the weekend. That was it, off to bed.
Glenroe, is it?
Well done, well done. You look a bit too young to remember Glenroe.
I used to watch it every Sunday night before we were put to bed at 9 o'clock. We used to sit down and watch Glenroe every Sunday night with my mother and father. So that's how I know it. Yeah, my mother used to make sausage rolls, or egg salad sandwiches, and we used to sit down and watch Glenroe.
Like the way the people would have popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So 1 week it'd be sausage rolls, another week it'd be egg salad sandwiches and a cup of tea. And then the minute the music came on, when it was finished, it was up to bed for school on a Monday morning.
Could you name any of the characters?
Oh, Miley and Biddy and... What was the father's name?
Dinny.
Dinny. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, Miley, and Mario Rosenstock was in it as the doctor, and Blackie Connors, and... Yeah, I remember a good bit of it, actually, now that you asked. It's funny when you ask the question what comes back, like...
Dick and Mary was... Do you remember, she was Biddy's mother. Yeah, and she was always glamorous, and the husband, and they always had a lovely house. I remember their sitting room was...